The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Kevin knows what to do here. Beautiful defense by Holland. Amazing. And a lot of energy wasted by Chiesa trying to get that takedown. Oh!
Kevin Trailblazer Holland coming to the rankings next week.
Kevin the Trailblazer Holland.
That's huge for Gamrot. Land those leg kicks. Slow down some of this movement.
Gamrot did a great job of getting in on such a taller opponent.
Fantastic by Gamrot. Gamrot does a great job of creating an angle, which in turn makes Turner just fall to the mat. Really beautiful wrestling.
Mateus Gamrot.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
All right, Matt, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to UFC Unfiltered. We have a good show today. Mateusz Gamrot is joining us. He has been on before, I believe. Kevin Holland is making his 11th appearance today. Always love talking. He's an easy interview because he's just such a fun guy and a fun talker. I'm looking at our picks, Matt, and you know, we do these little fun picks, which I cease to think are fun. You have two more picks than I do, but I am 2 wins and 9 losses for 12 points. You're 7 wins and 6 losses for 30. I'm
better than average right now.
Better than average. You're literally beating me in the picks with the same ease you'd beat me in jiu-jitsu. This is the same level of competition we would have in jiu-jitsu.
6 straight wins for Matt.
Yeah, you're due for a bad streak.
Yeah, boy. I was listening to Public Enemy at my school.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Chuck. Anyway, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I had a great weekend, Jimmy. Can I tell you about? Well, listen, we have to discuss the fights too. I mean,
of course,
Yarzinho, Rosa Strike. Shamil didn't like it.
Shamil got very, very tired.
Yeah, what do you think about that mouthpiece? You think he liked it in the mouth, or he wanted to get rid of it?
He wanted to get. I mean, it was literally he couldn't breathe. Maybe he had sinus problems too. He just could not breathe.
Hey, props to Mark Goddard.
Yep.
Yeah, man, you gotta take control of that shit. Hey, you see or you don't see. That is the question.
But they couldn't figure out what eye, right? Didn't he? Did he have enough visible damage? Maybe he got hit with one shot and it just fucked him up. He was pumping that jab into his face all night.
Man, I love that jab.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, really, really good fight.
I enjoyed a lot of, listen, let's talk about some stuff first. I can talk about me after. It's not all about me.
No, it's okay. Whatever you want to talk about, Matt. I'm here for you, buddy.
I mean, I did have a nice, interesting weekend, you know. And that was fun. But we have time to talk about that.
Sure.
I mean, why don't we just give props to Rosenstrike? Because, you know, Shamil was undefeated.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? So that could be very stressful alone. That could be a mind, you know, nobody ever handed that guy an L.
No.
And Rosenstrike did it, and he did
and
it.
And he was used to muscling people around fast and kind of imposing his will. And Rosenstrike wouldn't be taken down until the end of the round. I gave that first round to Rosenstrike, but a lot of people gave it to Gazeev because I guess he took him down. But I thought Rosenstrike even won the first round.
Yeah. And, I, you know, we hate, yeah, listen. I thought Rozenstruik, not only did he beat him intelligently, and he was listening to his corner. His use of his jab was really just
amazing.
It was really great. Then he really started opening up. It's one of those things where you saw the intelligence. He didn't do it as much early, but then as it went on, he started letting those combos go.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's smart because you do that too. You don't meet a bull like a bull. And Shamil is a bull.
Yeah.
But what he did was, it's not that he was really a matador, but he was being strategic. He was using his jab. He wasn't just trying to get him out of there right away. So then after Shamil got a little bit tired, he got him into the deeper waters, he started unloading. And you've seen the change.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, now he found his range. Now, yeah, but it's also because the other guy's not as explosive. You know you're not getting taken down as easy. You know he's not coming back with a big powerful punches because everything's explosive. I enjoyed that a lot. I did.
By the second round, though, I think he knew that he was able to at least not be taken down easily. Although Rozenstruik kept going up against the fence. I was surprised he didn't circle out a little faster because Gazeev because we pick against each other. I like Rozenstruik, so I was kind of hoping I like to see a veteran hand the hot prospect a fucking the first L. I like to see that. You know, I like to see a guy like Jarzinho who has been into so many 5-round fights and he's fought so many top five killers that he just knows how to weather a storm and drag you into deep waters. So it was really great to see just that fight IQ. Watch such a smart fighter avoid the early onslaught and pull him into later rounds. But I thought he kept letting himself get pushed up against the cage a little too much in that first round and the second round.
You know, sometimes you got to weather that storm any way possible. You know, I mean, like Shamil, it's not like Shamil's not trying to get him up against it. It's fucking
of course.
I listen, props. Wait, what was my exact pick with it was a fourth. He didn't come out for the fourth round.
No, you picked him to go stoppage in the second round. You said second round.
I'm way off.
Yeah, I was a little off too. I picked third round.
Well.
And a different fighter.
Oh! Listen.
Hey,
what?
I know what I wanted. Before I forget, I want to say it's one of the most vicious knockouts I've ever seen in UFC. Vinicius Oliveira over Bernardo Sopai. It was a good fight, good grappling match. I mean, that third round, though, Oliveira, he almost looked like Kevin Holland the way he was just flicking out jabs and throwing crazy kicks and unpredictable kicks, his angles. And that knockout was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It was, and I think I'm going to get this right, it was a very hard right kick, calf kick, and then a left hook, and then Sopai staggered back to the cage, like turned his back almost. He was desperate to get away from him. There was 17 seconds left, and he just dropped his hand, and that flying knee, you could hear it go. You could hear the connection. Was that rough?
First of all, it was a great fight.
Great fight.
I thought Sopai, I thought, you know, he was on his way to victory. It looked like Vinicius was starting to give in to him. Like, all right, this guy has me outgunned. And all of a sudden he started believing in himself in that second round and came back viciously. And, you know, I think a lot should be said that Bernardo Sopal, he took that, I believe, on like something like 5 days' notice or something. I want to, can we verify that, please? Yeah. I want to make sure that's the correct.
AJ Cunningham did the same thing, I'm pretty sure.
Mr. Cunningham.
Yeah. Hey.
That shows our age. You know what that's from, everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. Ludovic Klein and Cunningham. I know Cunningham took that on very short notice. You missed that. You're trying to get Kevin in. Oh, okay, Jake. Maybe someone could check for us. We're trying to see. Did AJ Cunningham, I know, took this fight on short notice. Did Sopai also take it on short notice? If you could check.
Are you just talking into the abyss if he's busy?
He's trying to get Kevin Holland in.
Listen, while he's doing that.
Okay.
First of all, you know, Tyson Pedro is, I think he left his glove in. He left his gloves in the cage and he's walking away from the fight game. He's always been entertaining. Props. Yeah. the
Vitor, how old is he?
You know, is he Vitor Petrino was he was on. You know what I mean? And he was, but Pedro, you know, listen, man, Pedro's a. I think, you know, I think he was saying it's just too much time away from his daughter.
Only 32.
Listen, man, I won the title at 32. What are you saying?
That he had more time left.
I know. I just wanted to bring up that I won the title.
Oh, I know you did.
We got Kevin Holland. But hey, listen, Tyson Pedro, we salute you.
Yes, always a fun fighter to watch. And look, going away 32, healthy. But yeah, he's a young guy.
If he wants to do something else, he can do whatever he wants. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's, you know, I think he had to travel for training is what's going on, too.
Oh, okay. You're going to bring Kevin in. Yeah, great. Of course.
Bring Kevin in, man. I see the top.
Yep.
Of his head.
Very nice ceiling fan. Hey, Kevin.
Let me organize this thing.
Go ahead, Kevin, man. Good to see you.
I put my shirt on backwards, so I had to flip it around.
Nah, man, that's old school crisscross. You know, you got to look that up. That was before you.
I know what that is.
You know who that is?
Yeah, I know crisscross.
Dude, listen, man.
A little bit. I'm not like super big. Yeah.
Jump.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Hey, before we get into anything, did you finally? Are you playing video games or no?
Man, not as much as I used to. I still get
it. It's time to mature for all of us. Not for me though. I'm playing a new one. It's so much fun. But anyway.
Why are you not playing though? Did you get bored of it, or are you just too busy, or like did you just kind of get sick of it?
Just life, bro. You know what I mean? Get a little busy. I still try and get on. You know what I mean? I try to get on as much as possible. Like I play 2K a little bit with the boys, just to have a little, you know, still have the interaction with the boys and stuff. But for the most part, I don't get them Call of Duty like I used to. I don't really venture out and play any new games. I just kind of like old man with it now. Just a couple minutes in there, get off, go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm with you, bro. I'm still waiting to mature. I'm going to be 50 soon. Kevin, is it too late?
No, always play video games.
I love it.
After the fight, I'm going to sit down for a week, play video games, and eat food. I mean, you know, a couple other activities, but you know.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, listen, man, I have my thoughts on why they're putting you. I mean, first of all, with Michael Page, listen, it has on paper, you know, of course, it looks like just fireworks. You know what I mean? You guys both got that style and that swag. I love it. But hey, man, they're not giving him no fucking easy fight. First fight in here. He's not one of us yet. I'm being a little hostile. But listen, he's coming over. He's carrying another flag. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, fuck that. Kevin, sorry.
Yeah.
Kevin's all laid back. What? Kevin, what do you think? That's an honor. It's a fucking honor, I feel.
Yeah. You know, of course. I mean, it's a very fun fight. I had a feeling I was going to be the one to get the fight anyway, so that's always great. You know, I like the way the guy fights, so it'll be a blast.
What are you expecting, too? Like, you know, your guys have their first fight. A lot of times guys deal with the adrenaline dumps. It's very common after the first round. But he's a veteran. I mean, he's fought 20, he's got 23 fights. Yeah. Are you expecting him to kind of avoid that trap of the excitement of being in the UFC? Because even guys, when they come over, feel it.
Yeah, I don't really think, you know, he'll experience that type of, you know, the feeling that, like, maybe like younger guys feel or stuff like that. He's an OG, you know, he's a vet. He may not be a vet of the UFC. But he's still OG, you know. I'd probably have to look back and see how Michael Chandler said he felt, because he's a very honest guy. But Michael Chandler, you know, his first appearance in the UFC, I believe he won. He crushed it, you know, got rocked for a minute, but, you know, bounced back and did what Michael Chandler does. So, you know, if you compare those two, you know, it's like, I don't think that he'll have much problems, you know. I just don't think he'll have the Michael Chandler success, you know, come in, win a fight, and then fight for a title. It'd be more like come in, get sniped.
Yeah.
Go to PFL or some shit, you know?
Well, you look at like Gaethje had success when he came over. I think it was Michael Johnson, if I'm not crazy, was his first fight. But hey, look, you look at Ben Askren, had a tough time. Like, you know, it goes both ways. Some guys do really well, and other guys, it's just the level of talent here is just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing that he's 36. 36 is not old. I was in there getting punched in the head by Chris Lytle at 36, my last fight, you know? But, you know, it's the wrong side of 35. I don't fucking know. You got to round up. You know what I mean? All I know true. Is when I was fighting at 31, nobody's asking me how long I'm going for. When I'm fighting at 36, all of a sudden I'm at a press conference and those type of fucking questions. That's kind of fucking weigh on you a little bit.
I agree. I think if the media puts that in his head, then maybe that weighs in his head. Maybe if the fans have been putting that in his head, then maybe that weighs in his head. Maybe if somebody at home that he maybe shares time with is putting that in his head, then maybe that's in his head. But, you know, the guy's 36 years old. A lot of people like me, 36 years old, they feel better, more knowledgeable, wiser, and just overall just more seasoned. And that does a lot for a person. And honestly, I fought Wonder Boy. Everybody said he was old. That was that old motherfucker beat my ass. So, you know.
And sometimes a guy who's older, and we just talked about this with Gazeev against Rozenstrike. You look at what a guy who's got that kind of experience can do to a fighter who's a great fighter, but doesn't have hour after hour in the cage, and how you can just weather somebody's strongest weapons and then drag him into deeper water and wear him out. It was really great to watch that fight if you saw it.
No, I don't know what I was doing, but I was hunting. That's
oh, you hunting?
I was out hunting. Yeah.
Do you hunt a gun or bow and arrow?
Guns. Save these shoulders for punching people.
Well, oh, yeah, smart.
Say, I can't really see you with a bow and arrow. I don't know why.
No, it's not my style.
A gun, though.
Yeah, I live in Texas for a while. I got a few.
Yeah, huh? Now, how long have you been doing that for, the hunting?
Not long at all. You know, we went the end of last year and got a nice elk, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Let's keep it going. So just try and go as much as possible, and I got a few dollars to burn through so I could burn through a bunch of brass. So, yeah, we're out there having fun.
How long do you have to wait? Like, I don't think I have the pay. Like, I hate fishing because I suck. I never catch anything. I don't have the patience. Yeah. When you're hunting, don't you just kind of have to sit there and wait for something to show up?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of. Sometimes you can walk down on foot and find something, ride around on the cart, something might brush out, I was sitting in the stands last night, by myself for about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. It got dark. I got excited because it got dark. I just got thermal vision. And I didn't turn the thermal vision on right, like a dumbass. So I'm like, bro, I can't see shit with this thermal vision. So I turned on my little spotlight, sat there with the 30-30 for a while. I kept seeing some eyes, but I never really had a clear shot, so I didn't take it. The boys came out on the scooter. We went down there, nothing. So, a whole night sitting there, and, who knows what happened after that, but I enjoy it. I mean, yeah.
Sorry, there's got to be some adrenaline, though, just waiting.
Yeah, I mean,
And then, man, I'm just waiting to snipe this fucker.
Yeah.
No,
I've been waiting on this hog. I shot at him one time, and whether it was me or the sights, it went right over the top of his back, and I was like, damn, I hate this gun. So then I instantly went and bought new sights the next day, then went out there and knocked something back, but wasn't the coyote that I wanted, right? So I was like, oh well, this sight works real good. And then I went out there last night, and I think I seen that motherfucker when it was late at night. But like I said, that thermal wasn't working. So I've been waiting on that son of a bitch for like a month now. But I'm going to get him.
You're going to get him.
What's the next step after you kill it? Obviously, is it just get it on ice, gut it, fucking throw some salt on it, eat its heart? What do you do when the first thing you do when you kill anything? I'm a city slicker. Not even.
If it's eatable, they're going to, gut it. Take everything we want out, leave some for the land. But, it's like, I'm no Bryce Mitchell. You'd have to ask Bryce Mitchell. Bryce Mitchell will tell you anything and everything to do with everything. So, but it is fun, though. It is fun. It's a good experience.
He'll venture off a little bit, though, about some things.
Yeah, I ain't mad at him. And once you get into it, it could be pretty addictive. But I ain't fishing, so, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Talking about the earth being flat or round. I don't know what the fuck. Listen, I'm no expert.
I think he said it's square. I believe him. Don't fall off the edge. Take the flight.
Gang, you got to be careful of the edge with that shit. But I heard it's in the Arctic. This is what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, they say it falls off right there somewhere in the middle of the sea, right?
Now, what happens there, though? Where do you go?
I have no idea. I don't want to go.
Right?
See, I don't fish. I'm staying on land.
Yeah. Yeah, plus fishing is boring. It really is boring. I mean, you're on a boat. Nothing's going. You're standing in those fucking rubber boots. Maybe if I caught something, I would like it, but I just, I'm not good at it. Now, did you eat the elk? Rogan is always eating elk, and he actually makes it look appetizing. How is it? Is it good?
It's fire. It's fire. We got some elk meatballs Sarah made, and she crafted up, and we make them. They're fire. We had some good steaks out of it, and, the buddy gave me some deer not too long ago, and that's been pretty good, and we went and got an orcs not too long ago. I'm hoping we get that back today so I can get a slap of meat of that before we take off. But I like that type of stuff. I think it's pretty good, honestly.
When you kill something and then you eat it, do you feel different like than you would if you bought it somewhere? Like, first of all, you know what's in it. It's just the animal. There's nothing
more
put into
manly.
It.
Yeah, a little more manly.
Is there that connection?
Cool. Yeah, it feels cool. You know, it's like you knock something back and then, you know, it's like you bring home some food for the fam. You know, it's like you could have went to the store and bought it, of course, and that would have been like 10 to 20 times easier, right? But it's like, it's nice when you go somewhere and, you know, they've been grass fed. They're not beefed all up with all the bullshit. And, you know, it's a little bit cleaner eating, you know, and it's just fun. You know, it's just overall, you know, it feels like you're a, you know, old timer and you're bringing home the bacon for real, for real.
It is something cool about it. Living on the land type of thing. If you had to, like, if there's a fucking, like an apocalypse or some shit, like you got to survive more than after, you know what I mean?
It's good skills.
I would someone like, yo, man, I'll help you out. You know what I mean? Who do you want me to fuck up? I don't know.
Yeah, everybody has a skill. You just got to find it.
Right? That's my skill. Jimmy, you'd be like a cannibal. Be biting on somebody's ankle.
I mean, I just don't have the patience to hunt. I would just wait for someone to get sick and weak. Yeah, and start at the feet. So wait, how do you get the meat home? Like, do you cut it up or are there people that will come and help you with that?
The ranchers are there. They usually help. I'm not that good yet. Like I said, I just started, so I'm still learning the ropes, you know. The better I get, the more I'll cut and the more I'll do things like that. So I just got me a knife. So when I get back home from the fight, I think I'll get out there and start trying to chop it down myself, you know, learn what to pull and what not to pull. But yeah, they dice it open, get in there, get what you want, get what you need. You know what I'm saying? Chop it up, put it in the freezer, take it back home to, you know, your local meat person, let them process it. Next thing you know, it's a couple weeks later, you got hamburger patties, you got hot links, you got, you know, steaks, you got. And you get steaks pretty fast. You can honestly cut the steak right out of there, right then and there.
That's what I wanted to ask you, the process. So you have to bring it to somebody else. What do they do to it? They like take any like anything bad out of it?
Not necessarily. I cleaned up some meat not too long ago and threw it in the crock pot and it tastes pretty good. So
you can eat it right away.
Yeah, hey. I don't feel sick. We're good.
Oh, crock pot. Hey, listen, Kevin, are you still doing the podcast or no? I know you were doing it with the girl fuck, what's her name?
No, I've honestly, this camp right here, I just been chilling and just focused on you know, just training and literally trying to hunt almost every weekend.
Oh, dude, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes more on your plate is not a good thing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, concentrate on the fighting, and then when you're not fighting, doing something where you're looking to kill is not a bad thing because you're in that's still in that same mindset.
It's been peaceful, bro. It's been nice, you know. Been eating good, been chilling, you know. It's like, shit, I want to go back up to 85 because hunting's so damn fun. You know, you don't want to be cutting weight while hunting. You want to eat jerky while you're out there on the stands, enjoy your pistachios, you know, drink as much water and have a beer with the buds. I mean, like 2 weeks ago, they were out having beers. They're like, you want one, Kev? I was like, I'm cutting weight. Can't, you know, got to stay clean. But I wanted one.
You seem very centered, buddy. You seem very... They say a lot of times when people out there outside life's a little hectic and crazy, it transfers over. We talked about this with Mackenzie Dern. Like, and it transfers over to the fighting where then their fighting's not as good. Because you seem, I don't know what's going on in your personal life, but you seem very centered, almost more mature. I don't know what's going on. It's a good thing, though.
Oh, it's thank you.
Thing. Right, I mean, Jimmy, hey, what is going on? He seems very channeled in it.
It's
almost zen-like.
Yeah, and it's funny Matt says that because when you were talking about hunting, I was going to ask if you meditate when you're sitting there. What do you do? Like, do you feel more peaceful when you're doing that? Like when you're just kind of waiting for something to happen?
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, a lot of times my baby unk goes with me, and I call him baby unk because he's a little bit younger than me. But a lot of times me and him go, we'll chit chat about, you know, anything and everything, TV shows and stuff like that, which is just cool for me and him just to bond. Or you know, like last night I was out there by myself and honestly, I just ate those apple bites and just sat there. And honestly, I really didn't even wasn't worried about the fight. Wasn't worried about anything. I was just worried about when the fuck that hog was going to pull up and I was going to knock that thing down so I could go home. So, yeah, I had a mission this camp to knock down as many as many predators as I could, you know. And so we got about five in, so I feel good. Four.
How good are those night vision goggles? Because I've seen like video footage of them, and I'm sure they improve every year.
Man, you know what? The actual night vision goggles, the good ones, like the thermal I got on the gun is pretty nice. Sig Sauer did a pretty cool little neat one. But the actual like goggles and stuff like that, they can get expensive, man. Like you got to buy the ballistic helmet, and then you got to buy the hardware to go with it. So that can get up to about like 20, 30 grand real easy. Oh, you know what I mean? Okay. For the good stuff, you know, on the cheap end, you might spend 5 to 10, they say. I'd have to do a little bit more research in there. I don't want to be lying, but I'm actually looking into that. I'm going to see if I can take advantage of some of my fight career and get a few sponsors in the hunting department and the gun world and see what I can manage to stumble across just so I can continue to have the right stuff to go out there and enjoy myself.
Hey, Kevin, I don't know if you're into shit like this, but you might be. If you are, I'm telling you right now. I seen in IMAX the other day, Dune Part 2. Did you see Dune or hit the sign fire at all?
Dune. No, I don't think so. I'm thinking of not Dune. No, I haven't seen Dune.
Dune was fucking amazing. I'm going to save it for you after, Jimmy. You're going to
Who did have in there?
Josh Brolin, Timothy Chalamet.
On the first one?
Wonka. Did I say his name right?
No, you got it right, yeah.
On the first one? That's what they had in the first one?
Yeah. They're in the second one, too. Oh, what's her name? Anna, what's the girl's name? You know the girl.
I'm gonna have to look this up.
Meryl Jimmy. Streep?
Forget it. But anyway, Dune Part 2. Oh, sandworms and fucking fighting. May my blade chip and chatter. Oh, splatter. No. Oh. It's Kevin. I'm fucking up the line. But it's so good. You're going
to
see it.
Check it out.
Give me a sock.
You know, fight week, you always need something to watch. You know, you can't. There's never enough things to do.
You need to kill time. It's almost 3 hours. It's like 2.5 hours. But it's fucking good. Anyway, now are you watching anything? Any streaming? I know you spend a lot of time in the perch looking to shoot things. Are you streaming anything? Reading a book, audio book, anything?
Me?
Yeah, not Jimmy. Fuck Jimmy.
I watch. I watch TV shows. Like anytime the Power Universe is on, they did a good job of like transferring them, so that's been pretty good. So I was watching
the Power Universe.
The Power Universe is like 50 Cent stuff. So I've had a good time watching that. Every time those are on, we watch those. Man, it's been a long time since I fought, so I've watched so much stuff. They came out with One Piece, the actual like real one instead of the anime. That was pretty good. They came out with Avatar. They came out with Avatar the Airbender on actual Netflix. I've been watching that. That's been pretty good. A show called Warrior.
Warrior's good.
The Song Brothers or something like that. That was pretty good. Netflix has been great. Hulu's been great. TV's been wonderful to me, you know. That's when you're at home, you know. It's like you can't go hunt 24/7. So when you're at home, you know, you can watch TV.
Did you see it's with Ali Wong. It's not called Grudge. It's the opening beef. Thank you, Chance. It's the open. I'll just tell you, the opening scene is a road rage incident between a man and a woman where they just one cuts one off or whatever, and it just spirals. It's fucking great. It's called Beef, and I don't know, but it's like 10 episodes. So if you're cutting weight, you just need something to just watch.
I'll tune in.
Beef is really great, man.
Beef and Doom. I got two good things for you guys. Beef and Doom.
Dune's a movie. Yeah, you have to go see that. Beef's
on. Watch the first one. You can watch the first one. I don't know if it's off Netflix now, Dune. But if it's not, Timothy Chalamet.
There's an app for everything.
Yeah, there is an app for everything. So fucking good. I love those movies.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm so looking forward to your fucking fight. What a fucking fight.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it too. It's been a minute since I did that. Oh yeah, it's gonna be a great welcome too. You know, it's like go catch a rattlesnake.
Does it change? I mean, a fight's a fight, right? Like you're worried about not getting hurt and winning. But when somebody is highly touted and coming over to the UFC, is there anything extra for you? And have you dealt with this before? Having a guy come over, or is this the first time you're kind of having somebody kind of be introduced with you as their opponent?
Well, I mean, I welcome Joaquin Buckley to the UFC, and he's had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
I welcome another guy to the UFC, and I don't even know if he's in there anymore. There's been a couple guys I've welcomed here. This guy just tends to have a little bit of a bigger name. But, I mean, I fought Thiago Santos, my UFC debut. I fought Derek Brunson, who never had, like, a megastar name, but he was such a vet, you know. I fought Marvin Vettori, you know. I did that short notice. I fought Chimaev, who has a mega name. He's almost like a Conor or a Sugar Sean O'Malley or something like that, you know, in his own way. And I fought some guys with some names. So I kind of feel like I've done a little bit of everything. So to me, honestly, it's in a sense, it's just another scrap. You know, this guy comes out there and he does stuff kind of like Wonder Boy with a little bit more, you know, flip, but a little more spin, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. I enjoyed the Wonder Boy fight. I'm pretty sure I'll enjoy this one.
And you took Chimaev on very short notice, right? How much notice did you have for Chimaev?
25. Just one day to the next. My type of time, you know. Do it again.
Hey, by the way, really quick, Jimmy, because I know that Michael Page tried it. Some guys are into it, some guys aren't. That fucking bare knuckle shit. I don't know why he would do that, because he's got his kids. And he's, you know,
I'm not into that. And honestly, I think he did very good going in there and fighting Mike Perry. I think Mike Perry's the go-to that right there.
Yeah.
I think he did very good going in there and fighting Mike Perry. Honestly, you know, had they ruled it a knockdown instead of a slip in round two, he might have won the fight instead of it going to OT and then losing in OT. So, I don't discredit him there at all. I think that was, honestly, I think for a guy who wants to test himself in multiple combats, I think that was pretty cool that he went out there and did the bare knuckle. Me personally, I ain't doing that shit. You come at me with bare knuckles and, you know, I'm not doing that.
Well, Kevin, we have to run. We have Matheus Gamrot is in the waiting room, but what a great fight this is. UFC 299 this Saturday. Have a great fight, man. And, you know, we always love having you on. You've been on this year, 11th time. So,
really?
Yeah, hey. I couldn't believe it either. It's been your 11th.
Heck yeah. Is that the most?
It's close. Yeah, other than people who have, like, Dean Thomas or, like, Phoenix, who kind of guest host when one of us is out. You're definitely in the top
for, like, most frequent guests.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Without
a doubt.
Oh, I'm going to make myself a belt buckle with you guys on there.
Oh, yeah, I want that. Jimmy wants to be near your crotch for sure. Hey.
That's very untrue. Don't listen to Matt. He's just trying to send you off on a bad note. Have a great fight.
Yeah, Kevin.
All right, brother.
See you guys later.
All right, yes, talk to you after.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We love Kevin.
Yeah, he's great. He's just a fun guy. And hunting is, I don't like to hunt, but I mean, guys that like will hunt and eat. Let's bring him into his Gamrot. Yeah. Fighting RDA this set. I mean, really, really... always a dangerous guy. Dos Anjos is so fucking amazing. How, even though he lost his last fight, it was a decision, but it doesn't matter.
Listen, man, Matheus, this is his time to shine.
Hello, sir. How are you? How you doing?
Good to see you again.
I'm sorry. I apologize. My mistake. I am here right now. Thank you to invite me to your podcast.
Happy to see you, man. Happy to see you again, bro. We're excited for you. You're fighting a former champion. You must be so excited to fight RDA. I mean, you had tough opponents, but this, a former champion, a guy like RDA, how are you feeling about that?
Man, I feel really excited, like you say. I am so happy that I can fight former champ, really tough opponent. I hope this fight, I will inspire many young people to make that the dreams happen, you know, through hard work. Great. I am super excited.
And what are you, RDA is amazing. He's 39 and he is still going into the fifth round in most of his fights. So, like, you know that even when he lost to Fazeev, I think it was in the fifth, like, he's just an impossible guy to put away early. Like, he's so good at bringing a fight deep. What do you attribute that to? The fact that he's 39 and he is still so amazingly well conditioned.
Yeah, he's good everywhere, you know. He's all rounder. His skill jujitsu is really good. Very good choke guillotine. Very good left hit, left kick, really powerful. Wrestling is so good. Yeah, he is 39 old, but still tough, good conditioning. Big test to me, but if I want to be the best in the world in the lightweight division, I need to beat guys like Rafael Dos Anjos, you know. I am really excited because this guy will be guy who won't go with me to the ground, you know. So this is going to be a lot of scramble, a lot of action. This will be what fans and people love.
He has very good, you're right. He's very, very well-rounded. His jiu-jitsu, top and bottom, very dangerous. When guys are going for takedowns, he's always, and I use this a lot with my fighters, he takes away one arm. So now you're trying to take him down with one arm. He's a very intelligent fighter. How much tape do you watch? You watch a lot of footage or do you have your trainers watch and point out?
I watched before UFC, I watched Dos Anjos because this was one of my favorite fighters, you know. And I know everything about this guy. And I am happy that I can fight versus him. And like I say, my previous opponent was only stand up because the ground was fire. He will be going to the ground. So this is going to be a lot of action, a lot of movement. But this camp in American Top Team was one of the toughest so far. I work with Dustin Poirier, Grant Dawson, many Brazilian guys. I am ready to everywhere. And really, I can't wait to step in octagon and show my best skills. Yeah, my last fight versus Fiziev was end of the second round.
Yep.
But right now it's only three rounds, so three rounds gonna be only sprint. I don't care about my conditioning, you know. I don't care.
You know you're ready, and it's amazing too the fights you've had. I mean, even the loss to Benil is a decision. I mean, you know, you've beaten some, you know, Fiziev and Turner, and of course Sarukian, which was just an unbelievable fight. So what is your, I mean, you're number six right now. And I know you're not looking past RDA, of course. You can't look past Dos Anjos. But what do you think, if you win this fight, let's just say it goes the way you want it to, what do you think is your path to fight for a belt? What do you think they would want you to do?
Next step, I want top five. Oliveira, Gaethje, Armand Sarukian again. Doesn't matter. You know, I want top five and I can fight with everybody. I think I need maybe one, maybe two big fights, and then I will be number one to contender, you know. For me, every this fight is excited because Charles Oliveira, the most dangerous guy in the jiu-jitsu, right? Gaethje, powerful guy. Sarukian, we fought before, but I can beat Pin again. So doesn't matter who, top five, one big, maybe two fights, and then title fight.
And Chandler, oh, sorry, I said we don't. Chandler, I think, is waiting for Conor. Who knows if that's going to happen? I don't know what Michael Chandler does from here either, because everybody wants the Conor fight because it's the money, the pay-per-view money. But Conor doesn't seem ready, so who knows what poor Chandler's just been waiting around for maybe nothing.
Yeah, I don't think about Chandler because he's the chicken, you know. He don't want fight with me. But very interesting is matchup Gaethje versus Max Holloway. I think Max can beat Gaethje. Maybe he come to lightweight division. So this is another guy who will be around top five. Another interesting name, you know.
Let me ask you about your conditioning, because we had a buddy of mine, Gian Vellante. He doesn't care. I'll say Vellante was he had a wrestling background too. He was afraid to go for the wrestling takedowns because of how tiring it is. It's tiring going for the shots up and down, exhausting. Your endurance is almost abnormal. It's phenomenal. It's like Marab has that kind of endurance. That's insane. It's like another weapon. Is there something specific that you're doing that really helps that? I used to run hills. I did a Versa Climber. But what is there anything specific you're doing that's really helping you out with that?
Mike Brown say this is gift from God, you know, my conditioning. Because I work every day hard like maybe everybody, but I am wrestler. My DNA is wrestling. All my life, I'm used only wrestling. And I can work 10 rounds, 20 rounds, 25 rounds, and I am not tired. I work wrestling, go down, and I can, no problem for me, you know. And Mike Brown laughing like, this is gift, you know.
just yeah. Knowing that you could do that is, it gives you confidence, you know. That's wild, man.
And your opponent sure, knows you can do sure. it.
And this fight, I think this will be my advantage. So if it will be a lot of scramble, a lot of action, I think my conditioning will be go up, but I don't know how good is conditioning Rafael Dos Anjos, you know.
And to people, not only do you know that you can do it, but whoever your opponent knows that you have that kind of cardio. I wonder how does that change the approach of an opponent, like knowing that you just don't get tired, like Marab just doesn't get tired. Do guys fight you differently than they would fight somebody else with your skill set, but not your cardio?
Yeah. It's interesting. We'll see, because he say he won't fight with me in the ground. So he need to open like his technique, and then he's open. I can counterattack his move, you know. And this fight, I will bring him to the storm.
Yeah.
Oh,
a
man.
Three round fight too.
And it's on a great card too. So I mean, it's like, whoa, right? Every fight on this card is crazy.
Unbelievable.
You know,
exactly. Unbelievable. Every fight from this fight card can be might even another show. You know,
main event. I believe so also.
You against RDA could be a main event. I mean, these are all great. I mean, Blades, Jayton Almeida is the final fight of the prelims, you know? And I think Almeida just main evented a card, if I'm not incorrect. He did, right? Well, yeah.
It's got to be nice that it's in Florida, too. Are you driving right to the – right? I mean, are you're set up in Florida. Are you living there now or no?
No, not living, but I came here 8 weeks ago, and I did here full camp. Like, I did maybe like 15 rounds with Dustin Poirier, you know. Many rounds we did. Grant Dawson, super tough and strong guy. Brazilian guys. Bro, ATT is full house killers. Yeah. Every day was very tough for me. And really, right now is fight week. Tomorrow I leave to UFC hotel, and I'm looking forward to meet him in the octagon.
And he's coming down in weight. His last couple of fights have been at welterweight. And you wonder, again, at 39, he's in such great shape, but is the cut a little harder for him? I mean, who knows? I guess we'll see on Saturday, but it'll be interesting to see how it affects him, if at all.
We'll see. But he's professional. He every time make cut weight, and I think he make cut weight right now again. But if he fought in welterweight, he was bigger. Right now, he need to go to lightweight. Will be smaller, like me, you know. But it doesn't matter. The power is one thing, but the technical, the speed, the big head is good advantage.
Yeah, well, Matus, have a great fight. You're one of the most exciting guys in the UFC, And I would love to see you get a shot at the belt sometime this year. So have a great fight, and we can't wait to you're on a great card. So we'll talk to you after, man. But good luck. Have a great one.
Dude, Thank you so much.
You seem Thank ready, you. Bro. You seem ready, dude.
I am ready. Now is my time. Look in my eyes. Look in my eyes. Now is my time. I'm gold, and I am ready.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. All right. Let's go, guys.
Let's go. Yes, sir. Really appreciate that. Invite me to your podcast.
Thanks for coming on. Anytime, man. We always like talking to you.
All our best. Take care, Thank man. You. We'll be watching.
Take care, sir.
All our best.
Thank you. Have a good one.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm excited for that fight.
I really am too. And by the way, Matt, thank you, Jake. Jean Almeida, it was a main event win over Derek Lewis. It was not a fun fight to watch at all in São Paulo. It was just, you know, not at all an exciting fight.
Dude, really quick, let's go over a couple of the picks because you're not, you know.
Wednesday, I'm on a plane. I'm going to California this weekend. I'm going to be in Monterey. I'm going to be in Santa Cruz. And I'm also going to be in, Monterey, Santa. I'll get it in a second, Matt. My memory stinks.
Yeah, get your shit together. But listen to me. I'm only kidding. Really quick, Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Chito Vera, the rematch. Chito won the first one. Sean doesn't even. The champ doesn't even. You know, he doesn't even make that like.
Yeah, he lost that fight too. Chito kick. Yeah.
He doesn't consider it a loss. He said it was a fluke kick and it hit him in a weird spot and yada yada, but it was a loss. Your thoughts on that?
O'Malley is such a great striker. He has a lot of distance on Marlon. I love Chito Vera, so it's very hard to pick against him because I personally like him so much.
Yeah.
But he typically starts a little bit slower. It's just his MO for some reason. Let me see something, Matt, real quick. His last fight. Am I crazy to think he lost his last fight? I just don't remember. He won. Okay, it was Munoz. It was Sandhagen was before that. He lost that split decision. Wins a decision. He gets better as though he seems like he goes deep and then gets better. So if he can drag O'Malley into later rounds, he may have a huge advantage. It's hard to.
Chito, fourth round stoppage. It's crazy. I know it's crazy.
No, not crazy.
He's going to weather some storm.
Yeah.
He's going to weather some shots, and he's going to make it nice and fucking make it a fucking street fight in there, get in his face, and he's going to get to him, and he's going to end up breaking him.
I love Chito, so it's very – I mean, I like to pick someone other than you're picking. All right, I'll
get off the pot.
I'm gonna take O'Malley. I'll take O'Malley. In the third.
All right, there you go.
I'll take him in the third, but I wouldn't mind losing that one because I really do want to see Chito get the belt. So, let's see here.
Dustin Poirier versus.
Saint-Denis, yeah, by Benoit Saint-Denis. He's good everywhere too. He's had submissions. Knockouts. I mean, and he really.
Benoit Saint-Denis.
Yeah. But.
Hey, this is what I'm saying to you right now. This guy is he's taking out people. Look at his resume right there.
I know.
But
this is Poirier.
Unfortunately, Poirier is going to knock him out in a second. That's insane. I said it, Jimmy. This guy.
Okay, I'll say this. It goes to decision. Poirier by decision. It's a three-round fight.
Yeah.
So I do think that I think it goes to decision.
You didn't hear me, though. I said he's going to knock him out in a second.
Oh, I know. And I'm saying in the
Jimmy, let's do some jiu-jitsu soon. Hey, the fams.
I would love that very much. By the way, the other Petaluma is the other city I'm going to be in. I was doing some guillotines today and doing some a couple of Darce chokes and, of course, some triangles, just throwing them all up.
Thinking about coming in the city maybe on a Thursday or some shit.
That would be perfect. I would love that.
Not maybe like next week or something. We'll talk.
I'm away for a couple. Maybe I can do it probably a couple weeks into March because I have a thing where I'm working 3 weekends in a row, which is very rare.
When my family was away is when I was going to do it. By the way, me and the family went down to the Tropicana in AC. That, you know, shithole.
Yes.
And myself and Uncle Edwin came with us. My kid's Uncle Edwin. My brother-in-law. And we watched Dune in IMAX, Dune Part 2. It was fucking awesome.
You loved it.
I enjoyed it. A lot. I liked it a lot. Or like Jim Carrey says from Dumb and Dumber, I like it a lot. Sorry, I won't do that again. That's not, I tried it out. Jimmy, so yes. It was so good. It was really good. Really good. I enjoyed it. Right, deep. It's good. Nice. Liked it. I'll talk more about it next podcast because I know you don't give a shit. But listen to me.
That's not true.
And young Marcus won his pro debut down there.
How did he win?
He won by decision. That fight was so close. It could have went possibly the other way. It's a little funny, really quick. Marcus, I talked to Longo about it. He got through the fight. Now, this fight, he fought. You know what? I wish I had the kid's name that he fought. Nice kid. They were from, I don't know where they were from, down south, I believe, from a small gym. But the kid was tough. Yeah. And he came in like 17 amateur fights, and this was his first pro fight. One, Marcus should be fighting 125, not 135. He doesn't really cut weight at all. So that's one. So this kid was bigger, and the kid was tough. And what happened was Marcus in there, and this is the first time this happened. He seemed slow. He seemed lethargic. He was on the he was losing position. He was on the end of submissions of triangles. And I've seen them coming. We've all seen it coming. And he was on the end of these submissions, but he's hard to submit. So he's getting out. He was mounted. He had his back taken. Yet he turned it around in these other two. The second round started like that. The third round started like that. He lost the first round. In both those rounds ended with Marcus on his opponent's back. So it was a back and forth. It was something else. But my thing is this. Now, this is why I told Marcus that I was, even though the way he fought, now it could have been any number of things from the way he rehydrated to the way, it could be anything, like to just having it, just feeling the bright lights, a little bit more of a deer in headlights. That's what I was talking about it with Ray Longo. But the thing is this, Jimmy, in the octagon, in the cage, in a ring, when you're fighting MMA, it's very easy. If you don't want to be there, and when I seen between rounds and during it, Jimmy, he didn't want to be there. That's what I felt. For whatever reason, you know, it was a rough fight. I was hard time getting through it on between rounds. This is why I told him I was so proud of him. At any point during that fight, all he had to do is just pause for a second. And he could have tapped out to any one of those submissions that he was on. He didn't. He was mounted. He had the back. He escaped everything. And he turned the tables.
Yeah.
On a night, which any other night wouldn't have been his night because in a night where he wasn't himself, I felt.
Yeah, sure.
So he elected to hang in there, you know. There was season 6 of The Ultimate Fighter when I had a guy that was close to me and he was in there and I knew he wasn't a fighter. dude, the guy put himself in a triangle to get the fuck out of there. I mean, I'm like, you know what I mean? I know that the cage, the ring, it's the truth. It will expose who you are.
Yeah.
So I told Marcus, and I said between the second and third round, I go, Marcus, I want you to tell me that you want to win this fight. Say it to me. And he did. He told me. And he sucked it up that last round. That last round ended with him around that kid's neck. You know what I mean? So he got a split. He won a split decision. Jimmy, we were downstairs. Marcus asked for the bucket. He was dead, tired, puking in that puking. And then he smiles. I mean, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm back after that. You know, Longo's laughing. I walk out of the dressing room. I walk upstairs, right, because it's downstairs. The second I walk upstairs, there's a room to my left. The kid is sitting in front of a bucket, his opponent, right as I come up, puking. Dude. Both of them. So I told him, I go, look, and the kid was a nice kid. I go, hey, to make you feel better, he's doing the same thing down there. I want to make you. Hey, I go, hey, listen. I go, I'm going to tell you right now, if that went your way, that could have went your way easily. It was a very close fight. It came down to the second round. You know, it was a close fight. If it went your way, I wouldn't be complaining. He got the nod. It was close. And they were very nice. They watched me fight before. They were taking pictures. Nice guys. So it's going to be a real growing fight for Marcus. But he knows that even though strategically, physically, things were off in there a little, he knows that he has no quitting him. And he knows that he's cut from that cloth, that he's able to, you know what I mean? So yeah. that made me proud. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's a very good learning fight. And again, he got his W. So that's it.
Matt, Can I correct myself? It's the Poirier fight is a 5-round fight. I was going to ask that before just because it's a co-main. Poirier accepted a 5-round fight. I still think Poirier wins by decision. I think he drags it to the fifth and beats him in decision. So I'm still taking Poirier, but I'm going to take him in the fifth.
In the fifth? He's going to finish
him? No. I mean, like, a decision.
A decision? I'm going to say that he's going to knock him out in the fourth then. Fuck that. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Benoit is, you know, going 5 rounds, but has he ever, I don't know if has he gone 5 rounds before? I'm not sure. Not in the UFC, has
he? Definitely not with a guy like Poirier.
That's where it counts, you know? I'm gonna change mine to the fourth round stoppage for Dustin.
Okay. I got Poirier by decision. Let's see here. Let me pick.
He's never gone 5 rounds before.
Can I pick one extra fight just because you have two more fights than I do? So I'll sporadically, just so we have the same number of picks.
So wait, I picked one more than you? Is that what's going on?
No. Overall, I was missing for one show. So you got two more than me.
Oh, so me and you am I picking also? I'm not picking right now.
No, maybe I should pick one more than you because, like, of all the picks, you've done 13, I've done 11.
Okay.
So this will be like one closer. How about this, Matt? You can pick a fight on the main card for me to pick. Since you're not picking, and you don't want me to just choose one, I think, tell me to pick one and I'll pick it.
All right. I want you to pick. Peter Yan versus Song Yadong.
All right. Yan against Song Yadong. Very, very good.
You think I'm giving you an easy one?
No, because here's the problem with Peter Yan. He's such a good fighter, and he's on a 3-fight losing streak. He lost to Aljo and O'Malley, both by split decisions, and a decision to Merab. So the fights are good fights that he's been in. Like, he's still, I mean, Merab was not as close as the other one. Gutierrez, Ricky Simone, he's beaten a decision. He did KO Simone. I don't think Piotr Jan loses 4 straight. I think he stops. I'm going to say he takes a decision over Song Yadong. I don't think he loses 4 straight. I think he's still got, he's only 31 years old. Look, but again, I said the same thing about Ferguson, so I've been wrong a lot. I'm going to take Piotr Jan by decision.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You see, knockout, man. You know what? I'll take...
You're not supposed to pick this one.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
Then you'd still be 2 ahead of me.
All right, Jimmy, I'm going to give you a big hug. All right. We're good, I think. By the way, Umar, Nurmagomedov.
Oh, Umar Nurmagomedov, yes. Yeah, very, very decisive win. Yes. Because,
let me tell you something. Begzat was game. He was game, man. He was definitely game. He got out of some bad positions, too. Umar was saying he was like 50%. He didn't feel himself. And he mentioned before about a matchup with him and Merab, he was mentioning.
Ooh.
And this is the thing that people don't understand about Merab, because he's basically saying they can beat him everywhere. He's looking at him. Merab's got a unique, like you look at him, like I think Henry probably looked at him too, saying, all right, I got heavy hands and I'm an Olympic wrestler. I'm a horrible matchup for him.
Yeah.
Or even Jose Aldo looking at Merab saying, nobody ever gets me down. I'm a horrible matchup for him. But Merab's got that fucking factor, that it factor of, one, the unlimited gas tank, and two, dude, he does not stop the pressure, the pace of, it's almost like it's not the same, because Nick Diaz is in the face with punches, and you go to get him out of it, he's still in your face. It's like that, but with the grappling, and then when you think he's, then the way he blends everything, it's pretty unique to him, so... Sometimes you don't know what that feels like till you're in it. So I believe Umar looks at him saying, his striking, mine's crisper. Mine's more, you know, technically sound. His is sloppy, or his wrestling's this, his jiu-jitsu's that. The way he puts everything together, plus his base, his pace, and that unlimited gas tank is just, you know, it's something you don't realize until you're in there with him. But anyway.
There's so many good fights, Matt. I'm sorry, buddy. There's so many good fights for Merab. I mean, literally, this is the one advantage to everybody having avoided him, because nobody wanted to fucking deal with him, is now he's got, I mean, he's not fought O'Malley. I would love to see him against Nurmagomedov. I would love to see him fight Rob Font. I think would be a very, very fun fight with Merab. I would love to see that fight. I mean, you know, anybody Merab fights right now would be very, very exciting. And he has almost his pick. Anybody he wants. He hasn't fought Cheeto yet, right? No.
He's going to be next to the title, Merab.
No. I'm just saying in general, though, over the next, you know, year, 2 years, just guys that he has not fought yet. And, no, he has not fought Cheeto. Of course not. Yeah, I mean, against Cheeto would be a great fight.
Shit, man. Anybody with Merab. Listen, the right hand to the body to that left hook by Steve Ercik was fucking phenomenal on Matt Snell. Matt Snell was in there also.
Yes, he was.
No, man. He's like, yo, let's do that. You know, I'm a pugilist. He didn't say that. That's from Young Guns.
Yeah.
I'm a pugilist. Anyway, Matt Snell was in that fucking fight. He was showing his experience. And a couple of times he gave a couple of zingers to Steve.
Yep.
But that was a beautiful. What happens with that right hand to that body? And then he did that left hook is, you know what that's saying? That's saying, all right. I'm transferring all my weight. I'm knowing where you are by this right hand. I know where you're going to, and I'm coming back. All the weight, it's transferring. My shoulder, my hip, it's coming back as the left hook comes forward. Jimmy.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome. I enjoyed it a lot. That's not a fucking Hail Mary. I'm setting you up for that shit. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, so props to him. What a night of fights, and what a show.
Yeah, I have to piss. Hey, listen, I'm going to be in Petaluma.
Jimmy, hold on.
What?
This is all I know when you don't pay fucking attention to me.
I was paying attention.
I said a couple of things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you realize I'm done. You're like, yeah, hey, I got to piss. Wait, could you just give me some proper like attention?
No, I've just been listening, but I have to pee. I'm so distracted because I have to go to the bathroom.
It hurts when you do that, though.
No. Just it's my bladder.
I'm going to miss you when you're gone.
I'll be in Petaluma, Monterey, Santa Cruz, California this week. And my wife and I have our new video coming up tomorrow, the third installation of our video podcast. It's a really good one. So check it out tomorrow.
And check out Nikki and Jim on YouTube.
Nikki and Jim NYC. Yes.
Oh,
and, we will. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
So, Jimmy, listen, about Dune, it's 2.5 hours. It's 2 hours and 45. Oh, wait, you have to use the
I'm bed. In no rush. Go right. I'll piss in my cup and then drink it.
You're fucking Jimmy. The movie was great. Listen to me. Safe travels, buddy. All
Thank
right?
you, sir.
All right, guys, you'll be with me next in a couple of days, everybody. So look forward to that. Who's going to be with me? tune in to find out. I fucked up.
Miss you already. Thank you, Kevin and Matheus Gamrot. And
Jimmy, talk to you after this week. I miss you, buddy. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.